Yeah.
All right, all
I like
right.
Goose Party started. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Crank it up, man. Crank it up. Let's get this party started.
Time is now, you know the deal. Today is Wednesday, you know the deal. May the 2nd, and of course you are tuned in to Talking Sports with the 12th Man, joined by Robert Ford. I am Andre Peterson, and we have an explosive show for you guys tonight once again. We're going to jump into a lot of things, as I said, at the table as always. We're going to talk about the sudden death of number 55, Junior Seau. Kind of a sad time, very unexpected. We're going to talk about that. And talk about the NFL draft, some recap. And we're going to focus a lot on the NBA playoffs. And maybe we may jump into the same stuff, too. But I know, Robbie, you're tired of talking about that and hearing that. But
if it needs to be talked about, we can definitely talk about it. It's no big deal.
I know. We'll see how it always plays out. But how you doing this evening, sir? Everything is good in your world?
Doing great. Let's get right into it, man. You know our time is short.
Time is short. For those that want to call in the show,
time
the number, once again, the number is 424-243-9519. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter at the number 12 Man Sports, and also at Facebook as well. So we got a lot of things to talk about. But first and foremost, Rob, I guess I want to talk about the sudden death of Junior Seau. This is totally unexpected. 5'5", as he's been actually referred to in the NFL circles, definitely young, 43. What do you have to say about this, man? It's very shocking.
Well, it's very tragic. Our hearts and prayers go out to the Junior Seau family. And, it's a very tragic situation. Still a very young guy, 43 years old. One of the better linebackers I've ever seen play. Ferocious player, very aggressive. Like I said, very athletic. I remember him in the USC and remember him coming out and, playing very well as a rookie with the Chargers. I mean, the guy had an incredible career. What a great player. Like I said, one of the best linebackers I've ever seen play the game. Ferocious player, had great tenacity. And such a tragic day. If you're a football fan, of course, once again, our hearts and prayers go out to the Junior Seau family in this tough time dealing with this situation.
Yeah, like you said, they don't make them like Junior Seau like they used to. I mean, I don't think nowadays that people would appreciate his play because sometimes he's kind of been known to be a little undisciplined, if you will. But he was shooting gaps and just he was kind of one of those guys that just had so much passion for the game, and you hate to see that go because. Just one of those players that I'm going to take it back. I remember I used to play video games, and I used to always play the Chargers, man, because you used to love playing with that defense because 55 was like a roamer, man. It was just one of the great things about that. But, just kind of a situation where, he kind of ended his career with the Patriots, and, he didn't get that last ring. It's just one of the situations where you're like, your heart goes out to the family, and hopefully, there'll be other players that'll try to emulate that and kind of bring back that kind of passion for the game.
Yes. Yeah, once again, our hearts and prayers definitely go out to the Junior Seau family.
Well, like I said, very shocking, and we always talk about things that are relevant to what's going on right now. But so I guess let's kind of give obviously last week was pretty big. We had the NFL draft, and we're kind of going to do some recaps. And obviously, due to the time being short, you want us to kind of recap anything you want us to talk about or highlight anything, Rob? I got a quick text. What do you think about the Falcons? I'm just joking there. as far as anything you want to hear about, and I guess let's talk about that. We're big Falcons fans and Saints fans as you are. You want to talk about your perspective draft for your teams or? And maybe we'll talk about some special things that teams that you thought did real well last weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, on paper, you know, I think most people perceive both the Saints and the Falcons to be losers in this draft. And, you know, you can definitely understand, you know, the national perspective. Both of us traded our first-round picks in this draft. Of course, the Saints lost a second-round penalty, lost a second-round draft pick as a result of these penalties this year. And, you know, so I think a lot of people on paper, you know, are looking at both the Falcons and Saints draft to not be, you know, sexy picks this year. But I think both of these teams are going to come out with a couple of players that's going to be able to contribute, you know, whether it be in, you know, providing depth or in certain cases, like in you guys' case, Peter Kuntz. I mean, he's a guy I think can come in and be a starter from day one for you guys, either at the center or the guard position. You know, with Tom McClaire getting up in age, you know, he's definitely going to be the center of the future for that team. And but maybe in year one he can start at guard until McClure retires.
Yeah, I totally like that pick, too, as well. I thought that was a great move for the Falcons. And, you know, like you said, even though it's not sexy picks, but it seems like we actually filled out a lot of different needs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how both of these teams fare in this draft. But like I said, right now on paper, you know, a lot of experts are not giving us any credit. But we'll kind of see how it plays out. But I do have a list of teams where I think had some great drafts on paper. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean these drafts are going to be great, but on paper as of right now, they look pretty good. And one team I'll start off with is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
they did an outstanding job in the draft. Looking at Fletcher Cox, first-round pick, Mykael Kendrick, second round, Vinny Curry, second round, Nick Foles, quarterback from Arizona in the third, and they get Brandon Boykins in the fourth round. And they picked Boykins right after the Saints took Nick Toon. I'm happy with the pick by Nick Toon, but I know Brandon Boykins was another guy. I think both you all, as well as the Saints, probably would have liked to get, but we decided to take Toon right before him, and the Eagles took Boykins right after us. But I like all of those selections, those five selections. You're looking at Fletcher Cox, a guy that can come in and start on day one at the defensive tackle position. He can play the three technique. And Mykael Kendricks is another guy I like. They got in the second round. He can play any of the three linebackers position. And the linebacker was a huge weakness for the Eagles last season. So he's another guy that's capable of coming in and contributing pretty early. Vinny Curry will be a situational pass rusher. May not be a starter from day one, but a guy that can help them out in the situational pass rush situations. Nick Foles, you know, Andy Reid comes for that Mike Holmgren tree, family tree, coaching tree, I should say. And they always like drafting quarterbacks that develop. You know, even if they don't grow into being the starters, they can use them as trade bait down the line and get picks. And that's just their philosophy. So Foles obviously is going to be a backup to Michael Vick, whether he be second or third string. But you come from that Mike Holmgren coaching tree, they like drafting quarterbacks. And as we talked about, Boykins is a guy that, you know, can return kicks to give them some solid corner play. They traded Asante Samuel, so they're going to be looking for some depth at that position. A couple other teams I'll talk about real quick, Tampa Bay. You know, to our dismay, they probably had the best draft in the NFC South, at least on paper. Maybe they reached a little bit for Mark Barron, but it's still a solid pick, a guy that's definitely going to start in that secondary. Doug Martin, I think, is a very good pick for them in the latter part of the first round. Versatile back, what they need. You know, LeGarrette Blount is a hard runner, but he's not really known to be that pass catcher out of the backfield or pick up blocks. And Martin can do it all. He's a three-down back. It's going to really help them. I mean, they got a massive offensive line now with Carl Nix up there up front. So this is a team that's going to try to pound people this year. And even his second-round pick, Lavonte David, I think this guy's got Pro Bowl potential. Getting him in the second round, I think, was a great pick. Great pickup getting him in the second round.
Keep going. I'm excited. I'm agreeing with you. A lot of good teams here. Keep going.
Cincinnati is another team that I like what they did. Drake Kilpatrick, first round. Kevin Zeitler, first round pick. Devon Steele, defensive tackle in the second. Mohamed Sanu in the third. Brandon Thompson in the third. Orson Charles in the fourth round, a sleeper tight end pick out of Georgia. So I think they helped themselves with getting them some good talent. And also, I like Indy's pick. I like Andrew Luck, and I like getting the two tight ends, Dwayne Allen from Clemson and also Cody Fleeter from Stanford. I think that's going to help him as a rookie, giving him some two big targets down the middle of the field as a rookie. And those are the four teams that I personally look at their drafts and say they were winners in this draft.
Yeah, I want to make a comment, too. I agree with you a lot of those picks. Definitely the Eagles, they had a – you know, they seem like every guy that we had targeted, especially the Falcons, I mean, the linebacker, obviously, Mikael Hendricks, you know, Benny Curry, Brandon Boykin. I mean, these guys are on. And obviously, they always do a great job of scouting. So the Eagles, they definitely know what they're doing. I also want to talk real quick about what the 49ers did, too. 49ers seems like they were getting a lot of speed on offense. You know, obviously, they were known as having a pretty excellent defensive team. And, you know, obviously they picked a pretty good wide receiver, a speedster, the enigmatic A.J. Jenkins from Illinois. I think that's a good pickup. They also picked up running back LaMichael James from Oregon. And this guy may be short, about 5'8", 194 pounds, but you talk about a speedster. So, you know, obviously some people may feel that Alex Smith may not have all the answers as far as that offense, but you add Randy Moss, you add some draft picks, and you kind of shorten the game. So, you know, you don't want to give that ball to the offense in that situation because they're definitely going to make some moves. So I actually like what they did as well. Definitely feel free to let us know. Tweet us. Put some stuff on Facebook as far as who you thought did really well in the draft, and we'll definitely give you some kudos and all that fun stuff too.
Yeah, we just got a tweet from Christopher Johnson in the Dallas area tweeting us tonight. As long as the Saints can put up 35 points a game, they'll be fine. New defense coordinator has new schemes for defense to learn anyway. Christopher Johnson, thanks for the tweet down in Dallas, Texas.
Love it, love it. And real quick, I know you talked about certain people being picked up. You know, you said that the Philadelphia Eagles love to pick quarterbacks, and they picked up Nick Foles. Tell me what you think about the controversial pick that the Redskins did. Obviously, you know, they picked up RG3 in this obviously the second pick of the draft. They turn around and pick up Kirk Cousins, and I want to say the fourth round. Do you think that was a good move? Do you think it's going to kind of hurt Robert Griffin III, or what do you think the philosophy behind them making that move?
Well, I mean, obviously looking at a team that was weak at the quarterback position, so they think they need a starter and they think they need a backup. And maybe it's the kind of situation you're thinking like that, even though Shanahan is not necessarily come from that homegrown coaching tree, you know, maybe you're looking at Cousins as a guy that you can possibly develop into a starter and trade in the future to get future picks. But I think you got to believe that Robert Griffin III is your guy. And I think what happens when you draft a guy like that is I think you're causing trouble in the media here. And I think the media is going to make a bigger deal out of this than what it actually is. And they're going to try to create a controversy. So anytime Robert Griffin III makes a mistake and anytime Kirk Cousins does something great, they're going to say, well, maybe Kirk Cousins should be the starter. And that's why I would not have done this if I was the Redskins. Just from a media standpoint, you know, I think the media is going to be looking to create a controversy. And maybe I would have tried to stay away from that in Robert Griffin III's rookie season. But I think Robert Griffin III is strong-willed, very smart kid. I don't think he's going to let this affect his play at all.
Yeah, I think it was one of the situations, too, where you're kind of playing with fire. And I sort of understand where Mike Shanahan was coming from. I mean, obviously – you know, maybe that was the best position or the best player on your board at the time. You know, I don't know. Like you said, I kind of agree with you. It's one of the situations where if you're RG3, yeah, I think the same thing like you think that he's got the will to make that. But as mentioned, if he kind of starts struggling, which, you know, some young quarterbacks do, it can be a very, very tough situation for the media and everyone to kind of say, well, Kirk Cousins should be winning the game as opposed to saying, all right, RG3, this is your job. It's kind of yours to lose and kind of go with the good and the bad. So, you know, it's going to be tough. But like you said, I'm a fan of RG3. I hope that he'll do his thing and make everyone forget about that pick.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. I think this kid is confident. He's not going to let this thing bother him at all.
Good deal. For those that want to call in the show, once again, let me give you the number. Rob, you want to throw that out there?
Oh, yes, 424-243-9519. Call us in with if you want to ask about your teams and how they did in the draft, if you want to talk a little NBA playoffs, anything that's happening in the sports world right now, we're ready to talk about it. Follow us on Twitter.
I actually got a text from somebody, and not to say that we hate on folks, but somebody said, obviously being an LSU fan, what do you think about the Cowboys trading up to get Morris Claiborne, and do you think that was a good move? Was it worth it?
I think that was a great move by the Cowboys. I'm actually a little happy that Tampa Bay didn't get him, to be honest with you. I think this kid has got great cover skills. And, you know, you think twice. You know, one of the things I've always heard Sean Payton say, you know, it's one thing to have a guy that can cover, but it's another thing to have a guy that can cover and have great ball skills. You think twice when you throw to a guy's side that can cover and have great ball skills. Because not only a great cover guy that has great ball skills, they think the ball is just as much as the wide receivers. Now, you can have a corner that can cover, but maybe don't have great ball skills. Morris Claiborne has both. This guy can cover, and he can snatch the ball out, and he can take it like a wide receiver. He's got great ball skills as well. So anytime you have a guy like that, you're going to think twice before you throw to his side of the field. Nnamdi Asomugha is a great cover corner, but he doesn't have great ball skills. So you can take a chance every now and again throwing to that side because you don't feel like you're going to get an interception if you throw his way. Darrell Revis is another story. You're talking about a corner who's not only a great cover guy, but he has great ball skills as well. So you think twice when you throw to that side of the field with those kind of corners. And I think Claiborne has the same kind of ability. Like I said, he goes up and snatches the ball out of the air like it's his own. The only downside to Claiborne is sometimes he's not a sure tackler. But as far as cover skills and ball skills, I'm happy Tampa Bay didn't get him.
Now, I've heard that he's not as fast as a lot of elite corners. So, I mean, like I said, he's got the length, he's got the arms, but he's not as fast. So, you know, but like you said, maybe, you know, I think he's an elite corner too. But like I said, he may have top-end speed, but everything else, like you said, all the all-around skills, he's definitely up there as far as skill-wise and everything like that.
Yeah, we got another tweet coming in tonight from Operation To That, Dustin. Fellas, how do y'all feel about Cleveland taking Trent Richardson?
Good. I was
going to
ask about that.
Yeah, I think that was a good pickup for Cleveland. You know, it would have been a little bit of a reach for them to take Tannehill at that position. So I think they take the best offensive weapon at that position in the draft. So I think that was a good move by Cleveland. You know, some question, why did they move up from number 4 to 3? You know, the thought process behind that was you want to prevent any other team from moving up ahead of them to take Richardson. And Minnesota was fielding a lot of trade offers at that time. So what Cleveland did, it says, hey, we're going to move up this one slot. We're going to make this deal with Minnesota because we're going to prevent any other team from moving up to that number 3 slot so they can get the guy that they want. And so they went up and got Trent Richardson. The guy is a very versatile back. I think this is a guy that's not as fast as a Marshall Faulk, but he has Marshall Faulk kind of abilities. He's a lot stronger than Marshall. But he can catch the ball, he can block, he can run. You know, I think he's a little bit bigger version than Marshall Faulk. And if he can stay healthy, this is going to be a great offensive addition. He's another guy that I'm happy Tampa Bay didn't get.
and, you know, if you're Colt McCoy, you know, it's kind of tough, the kind of challenge for him. Because I think last year, I don't think they had any weapons. I mean, obviously you had Greg Little. And nothing against the Master Choir, that one of the wide receivers there. They just didn't have anything. You know, obviously Peyton Hillis was hurt. So it was tough for them to actually do anything. So now this year you addressed a lot of different needs. Obviously you added some pieces. Even though, you know, like you said, you had some wide receivers, made out the top guys. You added a dynamic piece in Trent Richardson. And then, you know, obviously you keep building that building around the, if you think Brandon Wheaton's the answer or if you think Colt McCoy's the answer, that's the way to go, too. So, you know, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
No, I was wrapping up. I was right there with you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was. My thought is that I think if you're Cleveland, you go in with an open competition with Colt McCoy and Brandon Wheaton and let the best man win. You know, I think Wheaton being a first round pick maybe has a little heads up going into it. But I just think you have an open competition, and that's why I kind of thought they definitely should keep Colt McCoy and not trade him. And I think that was a good move, and let these two guys battle out and let the best man win the competition and go from there. But I think Cleveland is another team that had a pretty solid draft. I know I didn't mention them as winners, but I think getting Trent Richardson and Brandon Wheaton, I think they did a very solid job as well.
Yeah, they actually picked up.
I believe
we
got another tweet in here.
Yep, keep going.
You were making a comment about someone else they picked?
No, I was just basically saying that they did a good job because they actually added some good pieces in addition to Trent Richardson and Brandon Wheaton. They actually added a tackle of Mitchell Schwartz. The wide receiver that I've mentioned, Travis Benjamin from Miami, so a speed guy. Definitely added some more interior. They added added a guard and some defensive tackles. And they actually, believe it or not, they actually added a tight end. So I'm not sure as far as that. But one more thing I wanted to mention before we talk about the NBA playoffs is that we had a lot of underclassmen entering this draft this year. So if I'm not mistaken, we had about 65 underclassmen. And I think due to this, Robert, you had a lot of teams that were able to pick up a lot of undrafted free agents and or you had a lot of talent that didn't get drafted. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing due to a lot of the salary cap. Obviously, we know that the practice squads have been extended for a lot of teams, but I do think this is a very, very interesting draft that certain people, they picked a lot of reach players, such as, you know, obviously Seattle making a reach, if you will, for Bruce Irwin. And a lot of good players are still out there, and, it's not a bad thing. I think in the NFL, if you have talent, if you're undrafted, you can definitely find a spot on a roster, as we mentioned before, either a Victor Cruz or even an Arian Foster. So there's a lot of players that just because you didn't get drafted, don't think that this is not a shot for you to kind of make an impact in the NFL.
Exactly. And, I think most teams today, once you're in the building, they're going to keep the best players. So you just got to get in the building, and you got to work hard and perform. And these teams are going to keep the best players. They don't care how you got to the team, whether you were undrafted free agent, whether you're a seven-round pick, whether you're a first-round pick. Everybody's on the even scale once you get into the building. And so you got to believe, as a coach, these coaches are going to believe what they see, not where you were picked and how you got to an organization. You might get a little bit more chances as a first-round pick. They're probably going to give you at least 3 years to perform. But once you're in the building, you just have to shine. And we got another tweet here from a Destin at Operation 2 that. What do y'all think about Jim Brown's comments about Trent Richardson being the average back? You want to touch on that one, Dre, before I make
that's an interesting point. Obviously I have a lot of respect for Jim Brown. Some people, my father's generation, that he was one of the toughest, best running backs they've ever seen in the game. It's kind of tough, Rob, because I would think that Jim Brown, you have to respect him, what he said, and I don't know if he's entirely true with that, and it's tough because you really haven't seen Trent play, so it's tough to make that judgment on a guy that really hasn't, made his way in the NFL. Now, I think give him a shot before that. I mean, his words, you got to respect the guy, but I just don't know if it's kind of fair just at this young juncture in Trent's career, and I'll let you kind of add your thoughts to that, Rob.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I personally believe Jim Brown may be the best running back that ever played the game. I mean, he retired a little early, after only about 8 or 9 years at the height and the prime of his career. And so you definitely respect him as a player and for his football knowledge. But, I think we need to wait before we cast any judgment on Trent Richardson. I think this guy's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential. I'm an LSU guy, but, I have to admit, he's a heck of a player. Did a great job at Alabama, and I think Cleveland made a great pick by picking the best offensive player since they would have been a slight reach to take a quarterback at that position. So I would have to say that they did a heck of a job by making that decision. And even though they had to move up a slot, but they made sure they got the guy that can make an impact on the offense. And plus, they needed a running back. They lost Peyton Hillis, so they needed a guy to star at that position.
Gotcha.
And I guess we need to try to transition to a little NBA here. And for those of you all who are listening, 424-243-9519. Call in if you want to ask us any more questions. Tweet some more questions if you like. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook as well. We got some exciting stuff coming up here. We've got a quick few minutes and, touch on the NBA playoffs. I think there's been a lot of exciting games so far in this playoff series. Well, yeah. Last week we didn't even get a chance to kind of make our predictions and things of that nature. And I know we kind of, one of my favorite times of the year watching NBA playoff basketball, the intensity just goes up a whole nother level. And I'm kind of liking a lot of the games that I'm seeing. Even though we had two blowouts earlier tonight, we got a good one going right now between Memphis and the Clippers. I think this is going to be a heck of a series. I like Memphis to pull this one out. But, really quick, I know we may not have time to touch on all the series, but let's just kind of recap who we think may be in the NBA Finals here in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, like I said, due to a lot of different things, unfortunate, and a lot of injuries that have been going down, it's going to affect a lot of things. Obviously, we know that Derrick Rose is out for the playoffs with that torn ACL, and that definitely affects Chicago's chances. I mean, at this juncture, we thought that they were going to be in the finals with the Heat. Not to say that it can't happen, but it's going to be very, very challenging for them. Obviously, I still think it's going to be Miami. You got to love the way, even though it's going to be tough, you got to love the way that the Spurs are playing and the way that Oklahoma City's playing, too. I'm a huge Kevin Durant fan, so I kind of hope that they'll pull it off, but you cannot, obviously, overlook the Spurs. They're playing great basketball. Obviously, you know what's going on with the Knicks. Amari Stoudemire, unfortunately, had a bonehead move of punching the fire extinguisher and kind of glass and kind of hurting his hand. So, not smart if you're in the thick of things, even though you may be upset about what's going on. Not good moves, but, that's that. And obviously, if you're a Hawks fan, it's kind of disappointing. I was at the game last night, and I see the game that Paul Pierce put together, 36 points and about 14 rebounds, and the mental toughness that those guys still show. They're not going to give up any titles easily, and it's good to show these young teams that you have to have a lot of mental toughness to compete, because at the end of the day, talent is talent, and it always comes down to being able to want to win, to want something, to have that veteran presence out there to do what you have to do. So I apologize, Robert. We got about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. I'll let you wrap up and kind of have your thoughts to that. Yeah.
Paul Pierce was the truth last night. There was no doubt about it. Incredible performance by Paul Pierce last night. He carried that team on his back. But really quick, I'm going to say right now, my finals prediction is the Spurs versus the Heat. And that's who I'm predicting is going to be in the finals. If you would have asked me this last week, I would have said the Spurs against the Bulls. But now that Derrick Rose is out, I'm going to say the Heat and the Spurs. But two teams you got to watch. The Spurs does not want to face the Memphis Grizzlies. I think secretly they may be rooting for the Clippers to pull this out. I think the Grizzlies just match up really well with the Spurs. So personally, I would like to see the Grizzlies beat the Clippers. But I think that's a team that the Spurs do not want to see. The Heat does not want to see the Boston Celtics. I mean, I think the Heat can beat the Celtics. I think the Spurs can beat the Grizzlies. But both of those teams, the Grizzlies can throw a monkey wrench in the Spurs. The Celtics can throw a monkey wrench in the plans of the Heat. So I think, those are some sleeper teams you may want to look out for in these playoffs. And we're winding down here. With less than 2 minutes to go, Andre, I guess we can kind of set the tone for next week's show here. Join us at the same time, same channel, next Wednesday, May 9th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. If our friends in Hawaii, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. We'll be talking more NBA playoffs. We'll eventually start, coming up. We'll have some NBA mock drafts we'll be getting into. And any updates on football or the free agency, any moves and things like that, we'll definitely be staying on top of what's happening in the sports world. So make sure y'all tune in, send us some more tweets. We love the tweets. Call us. Show us some love, people.
Yeah, I want to send some special thank yous out to Operation To That. Thank you for the tweets.
Christopher Johnson.
Thank you for showing us some love, too. Once again, if you guys want to tune in, the OT will be set up about 10 minutes or 10 seconds, excuse me, guys, and join us, and we'll talk to you guys. Love you guys, and talk soon.
Good night, people.
and we are off the air. We are definitely into the OT, but yeah, definitely understand exactly what you're coming from as far as you know, certain teams that have certain certain matchup problems. And as you mentioned, whenever the Grizzlies, we caught something about them whenever they matched up well against the Spurs. And you know, like you said, just certain teams just play better against you know, maybe it's a psychological advantage, or you have to get over that hump. You know, as you mentioned, you know, the Celtics kind of were able to get into the head of LeBron, and the Heat, and they kind of, you know, had their way. And obviously, this year they've had their way, not last year, because obviously they played in the finals versus the Mavericks. But that's a team that, as you know,
but the Heat beat them last year, 4-1, too.
Yeah, they beat them 4-1, too, last year. And obviously, like I said, but you know, this year it's been kind of a different year. You know, obviously, right now the Heat have been playing well without, you know, Wade. I think Wade is kind of, is he back just yet, or I haven't had a chance to catch that one as much. But,
well, yes, he's played the first two games, and they've looked pretty good so far against the Heat. And so what I'd like to do is, since we got a little time in the OT, is maybe just, you know, we don't have to take too much time into it, but maybe just go through each series and who we think may win, you know, in these series. I know we didn't get a chance to tap on that on last week's show, but I'm going to start in the Eastern Conference here. And the Bulls and the Sixers, I know with Derrick Rose being out, Philly feels like they have a chance. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, it's one of the situations where I think that was definitely a shot in the arm, because if you look at the 76ers, they really didn't have anyone to match up with Derrick Rose, and a lot of teams can say that too. But, you know, I agree with a lot of commentators and a lot of analysts. They say that, you know, Chicago, I think they'll do their best to try to hold down home court, and then from there, I think it's going to be tough for them to kind of pull it out, just, you know, because they've leaned on Derrick Rose a lot this year. And they've played well in his absence, but I don't know if they have enough to kind of come out. I'm sure they were kind of saving that to make sure that he would be available in the playoffs. But I think it definitely gives the Sixers an advantage. So I'm kind of going Sixers, kind of a tough pick, but I think they may pull it out.
Yes, I'm going to still say the Bulls win this series. I'm going to say I think they have enough to get by this, even though they looked bad last night. I think the Bulls, you know, find a way to win this series and come out of this. Let's skip to the Celtics and the Hawks.
Why are you doing that to me? The Hawks did everything in their power to get home court advantage. And whenever you had a key player like Rajon Rondo not be able to play, and obviously Ray Allen is still out too, you thought this would be a key opportunity to kind of take two games and up to 0 lead. Obviously, I hope this game showed them a lesson, and I still hope that the Hawks can pull it out whenever the whole city has kind of been upset with them. And I hope they can pull it out, Rob. I'm still saying the Hawks, only because of being a Hawks fan. So it's going to be tough for them. Josh Smith is day-to-day. I'm sure I think he had a sprained knee ligament or something. But Hawks, they better step it up. That's me. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sure you have a fantastic opportunity tonight.
Yeah. And the Hawks definitely blew a great opportunity last night. They had an opportunity to go up 2-0 with Rondo being out. But you can't never underestimate the heart of a champion, and the Celtics showed that last night. And Doc Rivers told Paul Pierce before that game, you're going to have to be a superstar tonight in order for us to win without Rondo and Ray Allen. And he truly answered the bell. And I'm going to have to say that I believe the Celtics is going to win this series. And I believe the Celtics will face the Bulls in the second round. And I think the Celtics will go on and beat the Bulls and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals as well. And I think this is the one series the Bulls can get by without Derrick Rose, but I can't see him going any further than this. But still wouldn't be surprised if Philly beats them as well. Miami and the Knicks.
I'm going to go with the Knicks. No, just kidding. Obviously, you got to go with the Heat on this one all the way. They're on a mission, so no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think the Heat is a little strong, and actually, Amari Stoudemire probably helped the Heat out a little bit. And, you know, with him missing tomorrow night's game and maybe even game 4, and, You know, I can see the Heat easily going up 3-0, or winning a series in a sweep, or like 4-1, something around that. You know, something around that level. But I think
Miami pulls. And before you say that, and I'm kind of like taking a little change of gears here. Do you think, you know, obviously Tyson Chandler won Defensive Player of the Year. Do you think that with everything that's going on, do you think that Phil Jackson comes back and coaches the Knicks? Is that something that's in the future for them?
That is it's a possibility. You know, he is a Knickerbocker. He played for the Knicks, you know, for a couple of the championship teams in the 70s. That would be very interesting. I think, you know, with the Knicks calling, Phil Jackson would definitely listen and consider. You know, I think it may be it's going to be interesting to see. If the Knicks get swept in this series, I think they're going to definitely take a shot at Phil Jackson. I'm just not so sure he's going to take it or not. But I think it's 50-50. I think it's going to be similar to what the Saints tried to do with Bill Parcells. You know, you're trying to talk an old guy out of retirement. You know, he's just going to have to come down and see if he's got the energy to do it again. And but I definitely think he will listen because it is the New York Knicks team that he played for. But I'm going to say it's 50-50. It's hard to say one way or the other if I think he would come out and do it or not. But if he does, I think he would be a great addition to the Knicks. And I think instantly they could be a top 3 or 4 team for in the Eastern Conference.
Easily. Go ahead.
Real quick, we got Indiana and Orlando. And to me, this one is a no-brainer. I didn't think Indiana should have lost the first game, but I think Indiana's going to win this series.
Yeah, easily. The Magic have, I don't know what they're doing, Dwight Howard. It's kind of a mess in that city. So, yeah, Indiana.
Yeah.
Takes that series all the way.
Yeah, so it'll be Indiana-Miami in the second round, according to us, and I think Miami will win that. So I'm thinking the Miami and Boston Eastern Conference Finals, which will be a great Eastern Conference Finals if that holds to that format. And we'll move on to the Western Conference, the Spurs and the Jazz. As we can already see, this series could easily be a sweep. So in my opinion, this is a hands-down Spurs.
Spurs all the way, man. It's playing great basketball. They're going to be tough matchups, so we'll see for anybody. So, easily.
Yeah, Greg Popovich, I believe, is probably the best coach in the game, getting more out of less. And he's got some nice pieces. He's been able to work into his system, and they have a lot of depth this year, a lot of depth. And the 4-5 matchup in the West is they're playing right now, Memphis and the Clippers. Memphis holding on to a lead. I still believe Memphis is the better team out of these two teams.
It's tough because, you know, if you didn't know now, having the mental toughness, like I talked about earlier, Chris Paul has it. I mean, he is willing. He willed his team to win the first game. I don't know how much he has left. It's kind of tough because I think on a talent base, you know, you would think that having a Blake Griffith, you know, having Chris and you know, DeAndre Jordan, a lot of teams, it's a very talented team. Obviously, this won't take anything from the Grizzlies, too. They're pretty talented, too, so... you know, I think the Grizzlies may edge them out. It's going to be a tight series, though. But I think Memphis may actually pull that one out.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with the Grizzlies, even though they lost their first game. I just think they have a little bit more athleticism and a little bit more size than the Clippers do. But I think the position where the Clippers are stronger, where you mentioned, is the point guard position with Chris Paul. So he definitely can make a difference. But I just think Memphis may be overall a better team, has a little bit better bench. You know, Clippers are loaded with guards off the bench, but they don't have the size and athleticism that Memphis has, in my opinion. So I like to see a Spurs-Memphis second-round matchup. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the Grizzlies can give the Spurs fits. And I can see that going 7 games, but I still think the Spurs are going to squeak by in that series. And the 2-7 matchup, Oklahoma City and Dallas, the first couple of games in this series have been outstanding basketball games, going down to the wire. Game 1, Kevin Durant hit a game-winning shot for them to win by 1 point. The last game, they won by 3 points. I still think Oklahoma City wins this series, but I think we're going to have a 6-game series here.
Yeah, this is interesting because, you know, Dallas has given Oklahoma everything they can have. You know, like you talked about earlier, you got the heart of the champion, so they're not.
Yes.
I got to give them credit. They're not going down easily. You know, I think that Oklahoma City should pull this out. You know, as mentioned before, you know, Oklahoma City has all the pieces. I'm glad to see James Harden play a lot better. You know, you were kind of nervous about him with what happened with the elbow, with the Meta World Peace. But, you know, this is probably one of the most exciting series of the Western Conference, too. I mean, a lot of good games, obviously, but this game has been going back and forth, so it's been a very good series. But I think OKC is going to pull it out.
Yeah, and then we have the Lakers in Denver. Of course, you know, I'm not really a big Laker fan, but, you know, I have to call it the way I see it. Denver just cannot handle Andrew Bynum, and he's killing them in the paint, you know, and the Lakers definitely pull this series out, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're kind of similar in that regard, and, you know, there's no disrespect to our California people out there, too. Just, you know, I don't know, but, you know, Bynum is actually growing up right in front of our eyes. You know, Kobe scores 38. Bynum doing this thing. You know, obviously they've had the talent, but they're just putting it all together. So, you know, it's going to be the Lakers should pull this out without any problem. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that next matchup, you know, obviously what happens here. But, yeah, should be good.
And so that will set up, I think, a great second-round matchup, Oklahoma City and the Lakers, if that holds true. Mm-hmm. I think you're looking at a great second-round matchup, and I'm looking at a seven-game series in the favor of Oklahoma City right there.
I agree on both settings, but I think OKC should take care of that, take care of the Lakers, only because I think they're hungry right now. But whatever happens, it's going to be a dynamic series both ways. So this is where you said, you know, you get good basketball play, and it's just good to see teams that are talented kind of do their thing.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at a Eastern Conference Finals of Miami and Boston, which I think will be a great series. I'm looking at a Western Conference Finals of the Spurs and Oklahoma City. I think those two will be some great series. I'm looking at San Antonio and Miami in the finals. And I'm going to go with the Spurs winning their fifth championship.
I thought we were friends, Rob. I'm just messing with you. I'm hoping this is the Andre Hart pick. I'm going with Atlanta and Miami in the finals. Hopefully the Hawks will burst them, get it together. I think that they'll lose to the Heat. And I'm going with Oklahoma City versus Miami. And I'm going OKC with the win. I think they're going to win their first thing, and I think Kevin Durant's going to become the MVP. So that's what I think. It's going to be tough, though. They're not going to give it to him, but that's Andre on that.
Yeah. And, you
so
know,
we both say that. Go ahead.
I believe whoever wins this Boston-Atlanta series is going to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I totally agree with you there. I think whoever wins that series is going to the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami.
Wow. So we both think that Miami's not going to win at all. Why do we say this?
Well, I think there's still just a missing element. The Spurs have the size and they have the depth. And I think Miami will make it to the finals, but I don't think they're as good as the Spurs. The Spurs, when you watch that team play, you know, they have one of the most unselfish teams I've seen play. I mean, there's no egos on that team. Everybody's unselfish. I mean, and they have depth. Miami is lacking a lot of depth. They may have the three stars. And in my opinion, there's only two of those three are superstars. And but, you know, they may have the stars, but I don't see the depth. I don't see a true center on that team. And I don't see a legitimate point guard. And so I think that's what will hurt them in the finals. But, do I think they're a very good team? Yes. Do I think they're a championship team just yet? No. And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they win it because, like I said, I mean, you know, and LeBron James doesn't have a mean streak yet. And he's going to have to develop a mean streak if he wants to be a champion.
That killer instinct. Well, like I said, the OT is wrapping up. Tune us next week, you know, the time. Like I said, 12th Man Sports, we love talking to you guys. We'll see you next week.
Good night, people.